Morning brief of the U.S. grain markets. It's December 10, and it's 7:51 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Rich Posen for Critical Point. Today, we're going to get an inflation number, and people are expecting to be the highest in 40, 50 years or some crazy thing. And maybe that'll upset some of the markets, but I kind of doubt it's going to, I think it's going to be a non-event, basically. We also have, I think, the reason to be concerned of the future here of what's going on with China and their real estate blowout, their Evergrande company blowout. Can this impact their economy a little bit more? Can it actually impact commodities? And in coming years, we have to also worry about complications with China, Taiwan, U.S., as well as U.S. and Russia. And so there can be some things here that could disappoint some of the commodity bulls here, I think, and put some kinks into some of our thinking here of all markets. But ultimately, though, it looks like the economy is going to grow for several years. Looks like the stock market is going up great. And we even had some forecasts for next year by major banks of as much as 10% increase. All these things can be supporting factors in commodities to keep them from coming down so low, okay, as low as we might expect. But that doesn't mean it won't go lower, all right? So I did the weekly update last night in the grain market. Sorry, yes, it's quite long, but I just had to, just felt like I had to throw in some weather information, what's going on here in the U.S. primarily, and we just got to keep an eye on South America. So here's something I want to point out is that if you take a daily March soybean chart and you look from the early October to the date, you're going to find a bullish head and shoulders pattern, okay, meaning the lowest price in November is the head. And all that is technical talk for a type of pattern of supply-demand when in theory is working towards overtaking supply. So if beans trade over $13 in the next few weeks, then that would probably signal that head and shoulders has been generated, and it might have potential for maybe $13.50 or something. I'm just guessing at the moment here, okay? And however, there's also, in my opinion, a bearish head and shoulders pattern during the same time frame, okay? Just started a little bit later than the October, catch that mid-October high, and then you can also catch the high of November as the head, and now we're on the right-hand shoulder. And to me, because this bearish head and shoulder pattern is lagging the bullish, I think there's a slight chance the bearish works, okay? Now, some people will look at that saying you're kind of reading a little too much in it. It's not this crisp, all by itself pattern of supply is going to overtake demand. But I think if we see beans trading below 1224 on the March contract, we have to consider there is a signal. Others will wait for it to go down a considerable amount before they trigger a signal. Now, why would we wind up with two very well-known, well-watched patterns, not only throughout the technical community, but some of the fundamental traders who might not particularly care for technical, they do watch some things, and they do listen to some technical people. They do realize it works in terms of what supply and demand's up to. My thoughts are, because we got two of the same type of patterns, but both bullish, bearish, what's going on is it's telling us the traders really don't know what to do. This is a rather confused market, and if we polled the entire group, if they said no, they're not, then they're at least at an equilibrium. They're comfortable with these prices, and they don't see any reason to do anything serious in any either direction, okay? So it's either at equilibrium or they're confused, okay? My guess, if we dug deeper, we'd find there's subgroups of each, okay? And I think it boils down to the fact that they're unsure, do we really have an issue in Argentina, Brazil that's going to be significant enough that we would want to buy beans and push them considerably higher versus the possibility that we're going to get good crops out of South America versus the possibility there won't be a La Nina next year for the U.S. and we're going to have great crops in the U.S., which means prices ought to go lower than this, and we're going to raise the ending stock somehow, some way. It's just a matter of how long it takes, okay? So I think they're really mulling over these kind of things and discussing these things, thinking these things, and they're actually trading that way, okay? So we'll see what goes on here, but it's just interesting to watch that, and we'll have to watch the $12.24 and $13 here. Now, inside of this, these patterns, which you could also argue is some kind of range, it still looks to me like we've got a level 3 top either already in place or it's coming in maybe today, this week, and it still looks like they ought to back the beans off some. And maybe it's just going to be range trade for a while until we get some decisive news or someone blinks first, meaning they run out of supply or they run out of demand and it's significant enough to actually create a bias in the market. And then once you get the momentum going, at least the technical crowd will probably jump on it and make it happen, okay? Any rate, I guess at the same time, I feel like this market is short-term overbought. And it's time to turn it lower. All right. But it may not go dramatically lower. It may take a while. For all I know, if we really are going to have a bearish scenario going into bottoms in January and February, it may not even go down to January. Okay. In the corn market, it's kind of a similar scenario, but we got a nice seasonal jump. Okay. And but you can just see it's lost momentum since the 1st of November, even though the high was late November, okay? The highest price of the year for the March. I'm sorry, that's not for the year. But at any rate, from mid-October to date, the highest price was in November. But really, you can see the market really hasn't done much of anything since the start of November, okay? And it is one of our price objectives. It's holding up well. It's nearly extremely overbought. Maybe that can create some issues where it's got to stay up just a little bit longer and give us some false signals before being right. But in general, it's ready to roll over. It's ready to come down. And I think you just got to watch yesterday's low. And it is still trading in our price objective that does go as high as around 593. And yesterday's high just happened to be the highest I had in that price objective. You can take a look at that in the weekly update. So if we can just violate yesterday's low, I think we're on our way here, especially if we violate it on a close. And so it just looks like corn and beans ought to be down next week, and it could be down all of next week. It may be down just a few days. Don't know yet, okay? So I just think the demand is you still got a little more demand than supply, but it's kind of like the demand is saying, I really don't want to pay any higher than this. I really don't need to pay any higher than this. I can't tell, does that mean the supply is increasing here, capping it, or is it really just the demand walking away at times? And I think it's more of demand walking away. I don't think there's a lot of supply here. I think at least all tracing it all the way back to the farmer, my guess is they're trying to hang on whatever they have left to sell for next year. Now, some of my farmer contacts claim a lot of grain has been sold, a lot of grain moving. So the farmer could be rather tight-fisted with what's left. All right, wheat market. All right, that one, interesting enough, I must say for corn, I'm surprised of its resiliency for such a tumbling wheat. Here we have been thinking that corn was quite correlated with wheat, and that was also a reason why they were holding corn up longer than they should have, that there was something going on wheat. Now that we've had this tumbling wheat, the corn market is still holding up. So no, it must be more of its own demand. And as I show in the weekly update, that it's possible they're watching U.S. weather, even though they really shouldn't be getting all excited about it. It is something to talk about for next year, and it is something to relate to what may be going on in South America on the bull side, and something to relate to, of course, the La Nina story, because the U.S. is quite dry, and it's getting worse, okay? And then I don't know what to make of the mid-Atlantic states being dry. Some people view that as a clue of something coming for the Midwest. And they think you normally get it in the mid-Atlantic states first, and later you get your problem in the Midwest to Corn Belt. Any rate, on the wheat market, we made a good call that it was just going to be a truncated top. It was going to bump its head, that it couldn't really rally. And it looks like it's going lower into next week. I think we've got a chance at 760. And I think it's all over for Europe wheat, which I think have been the leader of the world here. But there could be issues coming later down the road here with the winter wheat. There's definitely areas in the world that's too dry, might not have the snow cover, might get too cold. There was places that weren't planted. You know, so I realize there could be issues down the road, but I'm kind of thinking, I wonder if those issues just kind of keep it from being a serious bear market, kind of putting floors in. It does feel like even the corn and soybeans really aren't going to go down much at all the way into summer, that the trade's got it in their head. We got to wait to get the March planting intentions report, and more importantly, we got to wait to see how this crop gets going here in the U.S. Before they really get bared up. And there are some things out there, and I've explained this in the weekly update. There is a possibility, after all, that the long-term top called this year could delay until July. And I said there's no top due in the summer. The latest it can top, if not this year, would be spring of next year, and that did not sound like a crop problem year to me. Now, I think after it seems like hundreds of hours of research here, there is a slight chance we can somehow push this higher into June, July for the latest. Maybe that can give us a sudden explosion out of an actual crop problem, and then it's all over. All right. Well, if that's the case, then maybe we can work prices in a seasonal pattern of higher from October into June, July, and you get them high enough, and then you get your explosion off the actual crop problem. But the point is, now things are just simply too high. You kill demand, and you start your bear market. So I will leave the door open for a crop problem next year. I've said all along I have to, but the pricing model by itself is saying, no, there shouldn't be any crop problem. But now it's saying, well, maybe it's 30% probability. You could do something stranger. So again, this weather is going to be very, very important because we still have tight ending stocks. USDA is going to be slow, I think, at raising ending stocks. And we'll just have to see how this all transpires, just like every other year, okay? At any rate, near term, though, the best forecast is we're going to get lower prices in January, February, that we're going to get some relief down in Brazil, that is just not going to be that serious of a problem. Same for Argentina. You can just see there's pockets are doing fantastic, but we're now seeing pockets in South America that there are issues. The corn's too dry. The beans are too dry. All right, but maybe in January, February, everything's going to smooth out and be okay. That's our best forecast still, that it's going to be okay, and we're going to walk these prices lower. But the key is, can we walk these prices higher into the end of December to early January? Well, we really shouldn't for soybeans, and it looks like it's over for wheat, but corn could possibly hang up that long. So I may be wrong here, and I may have flipped a second time and shouldn't have done it. But my guess is these markets should just work lower for a while. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Have a great day, and if you get a chance, check out the weekly update. I think we did some interesting things there and a bit more informative. Thank you.